sorry. But this little fishy needs his growing too.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up and take it away. Take it away.
Mute it. Oh, it's over now.
It's over.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you again, Alan.
Yes. Last week I wasn't here, and you turned me off last week.
Good to see you again, Alan. You know why it's good? You know what came out last week? Good to see you again, Alice Cooper. First time on DVD.
Ah, I assume you have it now.
First time. You're damn right I have it. It is the original print. The original copy. There was two versions released. The original.
I remember you saying one was a bootleg.
Well, they've shot it, and they didn't release the original, but they re-spliced in where they had they had little clips in there with Hair Director and the Baron chasing the Alice Cooper gang all over the country, and they spliced in film clips from movies of the 30s and 40s, maybe some 50s movies. And they did it that way. But then they re-released the original with the original footage to Midnight Movies for a couple of years or something like that. It ran for a little bit way back in the mid-70s. And since then, it's been like just collecting dust on a shelf somewhere. Yep.
I've never seen it, so.
It's good.
Good. Most of the Midnight but movies you I ever saw, I can't remember
already,
anyways.
What? What was that, Link?
Didn't you have like a pirated copy of that or something?
I had the bootleg. Yes, I had the bootleg, which was the first version released, not the original. The original, I don't think you could have gotten anywhere from what I understand. But I have both copies now.
So what did you guys do? Forget to turn my mic up again?
No, Alan was just barreling over top of you, like
Sorry.
Alan does.
Yeah, I blame it on Alan, yeah.
No, what I'm going to get is a splitter for the headphones here so I can listen to the stream and us at the same time rather than juggling the two headphones I'm wearing on my head now.
Good to see you again, Link.
Well, no, dude, you just put one earphone in one side of your ear there and one earphone in the other ear. And
well, that's what I had it. But
it can be completely confused.
Well, it is. It's confusing because like, the left ear is us live. Here and then the right ear is the stream on it, and the stream is like 15 seconds behind us, so it makes it hard to concentrate.
Yeah,
Dan's typing away here.
I'm getting ready to put the image in the logo on the RSS feed for iTunes, so now we have a picture.
Well, I figure since we have an explicit tag now.
Yeah, that's a requirement now with the RSS feeds on iTunes that you have to make it standards compliant. You have to put the explicit tag in there and define whether you're explicit or not. And I figured I'd err on the side of caution and give us an explicit tag.
For the occasional F-bomb.
Yeah, and the flip side is I make the...
the occasional F-bomb and hoagie guy story.
Yeah. I make the AUG RSS feed iTunes compliant, too, but we don't post that on the iTunes. I don't know why I did that. You know, I'm thinking, I'm like, the AUG file doesn't go out through iTunes.
In case they ever decide to put it there?
I don't know. I
don't think they'll ever go with AUG, but...
No. You know, speaking of AUG...
Yes, I agree. We're explicitly great.
Yeah, Nokia released a tablet, or quote tablet, Linux tablet PC. Was it
that 7700 or something like that?
Yes,
770.
Yeah, for like $395. I was looking at that, and the specs do not to say that it doesn't have OGG support, or they don't list OGG support in the specs. And you figure it's a Linux device.
No, but they list it as being Debian Linux, right?
Right.
Do we have a page for that? So I'd like to take a look at it.
It's a wonderful, beautiful looking thing. I'm sure you can get OGG support on it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure, too, but it'd be nice if it came out of the box. Yeah, there's a page for it, but it's Flash-based, so if I bring it up on my PPC, it'll probably destroy my browser, and it'll hem and haw and complain. I guess the downside to it, from what I've heard, one of the downsides is that it doesn't have touchscreen support, really. I mean, you can't,
How is it a tablet, then?
Yeah, I don't know. Why did he build it as a tablet PC?
It has a palm with just like a screen on it, dude.
What?
But it has a touch screen on it. Touch screen, and it gives you a stylus.
I heard that you can't like actually write notes or something with it. There isn't any. I don't know. That's just some of the things I picked up from Dig and other places where I was listening to comments and I read a little review. I didn't look too deeply into it. I mean, I figure, you know, maybe if work says, hey, we want to get you a Palm, I'll try and convince them into getting me that instead of a tungsten. Because I don't like Palm devices, PDAs.
I'll tell you what, I was looking at that at the website, and I think that looks slicker than hell, man. I would love to get one. But, you know, I'm kind of holding off waiting for those $100 laptops that are supposed to be, you know, hitting the world pretty soon. I keep hearing about those.
Aren't those going out to third world countries and stuff? Well, you have to buy them in bulk.
Some kind of market here.
Yeah, I think
you
have to buy them in like a huge right. amount at a time.
And you got to hook it up to your bicycle so you get to generate enough power for it.
It says the product runs on Linux-based Internet Tablet 2005 Software Edition.
What is it?
That's what they're saying. The operating system is Linux-based Internet Tablet 2005 Software Edition. It is an operating system upgrade Nokia is planning to launch next year. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a 2006 Software Edition. To support more mainstream and novelty services, including internet telephony and instant messaging.
I mean, it looks like a really interesting product. I mean, seriously.
Let's go back to buy it now and see how much it is. Buy it online for how much?
Yeah, buy me one now, Alan.
I'm just curious to see how
much. You got money, man.
Gee, I wish I had money.
Got money, man.
$359.
Somebody out there listening to the show has got to have some money, man.
Buy us all one of these and we'll be your internal friend.
Your internal friend?
Eternal. Not internal.
I'm married, man. I don't want to be anybody's internal friend. I'll be their eternal friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said. It just may have sounded bad, but... you know my crappy accent. Hey, if you buy it online, you get free shipping now.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Ooh.
There's your free link. Just buy it, and they'll give you the free shipping.
Sure.
I mean, it looks good. It does. I'm surprised there's not a whole lot of other Linux handheld devices out there yet.
Well, you know, eventually what we needed is a breakthrough item, and maybe this is it, you know? I keep waiting for that one breakthrough item where everybody has to have one and it runs Linux and that's how people are getting exposed to the operating system. Maybe this is it. Maybe this will be a big market hit and everybody will want one instead of their, you know, stupid cell phones that take pictures and play MP3 files and whatever the hell else. And people will get a little Linux exposure and won't be so damn afraid of it if it lands on their desktop somewhere.
So this is not a phone, this is just a browser.
Yeah. Right. It's an internet appliance.
Okay, yeah. That's not too bad.
It has its pros, it has its cons. What are you going to do?
Web browser, email client, internet radio, newsreader, media players, image viewer, file manager, search, calculator. Yeah, got all the same crap on it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to have one of these for, like, work. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm walking around on the floor and I got to do something and hit a website and, you know, search for something, that would be really, really awesome. Just for, you know, just for that purpose. But I can see where it would come in handy for, you know, whatever, car rides or whatnot.
Yeah.
Hey, why not? Do it up.
I finally got that script to work for the Myth to, it's Myth to iPod was the original script, but I actually changed some of the parameters so it actually streams out shows to my PlayStation. Well, I still have to copy them on there, awesome. But as it finishes recording a show, it then converts it over to PlayStation Portable format on it. Well, I have to work on renaming it, but all I got to do is rename it, pop it onto the PlayStation Portable, and take it with me. Actually, it works pretty nice.
I'm waiting for... I want to get a GPA 2X. That's what I want.
And that is?
That's that $179 handheld gaming device that has Linux on it. It also has media support.
Okay.
TV out. Cool. So you can hook it up to your television set. Little gamepad.
Bring your porn with you.
Tons of emulators. MAME.
See, now that brings up a good point. They are coming out with some cool Linux-based media type things. They have the Nokia 770 and that, what was that called again, Dan?
The GP2X game system from...
GP2X game system.
Yeah. Who's...
And I looked at... I remember you said something about that on your... you mentioned to a person... mentioned it to me personally and put it on your weblog, and we were talking about that, and I thought that was pretty cool, too. And then they also have that... what is it, like the Bulldog or something like that? That new USB computer that they came out with? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There was also somebody put on a forum about a USB version of Ubuntu that I guess is... I didn't look too deep into it. It was on Tom's Hardware. It's listed on the forums. Did you see that today?
No, I didn't.
Guy suggested we talk about it, and here we are, screwing it up. Thanks, Alan.
Which one? I'm sorry, I was doing something else.
Damn it, Alan.
Which distro?
It's Ubuntu. Where is it? Test drive in H2. Tom's Hardware, it's about an H2. Hold on.
Oh, that's the one with the little 3-gig drive.
Yeah, that right there, Linux to go.
Yeah, okay. I hadn't seen the pictures of it, but...
It looks pretty interesting. I mean, I guess that's if you have a system. That's not a standalone system, is it?
No, it's supposed to like plug into your USB drive and boot up a Linux box.
I guess, like I said, I'm
just like that Bulldog thing, right?
I think it's similar, yeah.
Yeah, 3-gig capacity. Looks pretty cool. I guess you have to have a system that'll boot off of USB.
I bet that'd help.
Yeah, it would help a lot. I wonder what the price is on that. Maybe I'll... I don't know. Could be ordered online. $132.
Not too bad.
Well, if you have a system that will boot off a USB, from my... I don't know. I haven't looked at it, but it looks pretty cool. I guess I should probably... No, you can go to the forum and see it. Definitely go to the forum. I upgraded the wife's laptop to Breezy last night.
How'd she like it?
Took a damn long time, man. Holy mackerel. Had to download almost like...
The upgrade does take a long time, though, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, it gets kind of wonky because you got to do that apt-get force. Because if you don't do the force, it just bombs out. But, it's pretty smooth. I got it all up and running, and I brought it downstairs because I didn't do it wirelessly because I didn't think that would be a good idea. So I brought it down, and I...
Probably not.
Yeah, fired it up, and I'm like, what happened to the NDS wrapper driver? And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And I'm just about getting ready to configure it, and I go to plug the machine in to the little hub I have downstairs, And I noticed that the hub's off, so I plugged the hub in, and I start downloading the driver to reset it all up. And then right before I load in the driver again, it hits me. The wireless access point is connected to that hub that was unplugged, which is the reason why I wasn't getting an IP address when I tried to, when it was trying to boot up. I was like, duh.
Oops.
Yeah. But it was pretty smooth. Her only complaint so far was that OpenOffice 2 did not use her preferences from OpenOffice 1. Because it used to have OpenOffice 1 and then OpenOffice 1.9. I think it was the right. beta release okay. of 2.0. And she customized it. And then 2 didn't take those didn't take that custom configuration for some reason. So she has to re-customize the toolbars and everything that she did. And I was in there looking at it, and I'm like, well, I see the original OpenOffice.org directory that when you run it the first time usually sets itself up in your home directory. Mm-hmm. But there isn't one for OpenOffice 2 that I've seen yet. But somehow it's retaining settings somewhere, so I got to look further into it. I didn't pay too much attention. And when I wanted to go look at it today, she wanted to use her computer. So, you know, it's one of those things.
How dare she want to use
it? Damn straight. I got stuff I want to do.
Man.
You guys use...
Speaking of which, there are more Ubuntu updates today, and I probably have to do that to my wife's computer, too.
Yeah, well, speaking of updates, what's the name of that quote, Linux worm that's going around there? What is that called?
You know, I don't remember what the name is, but I read the specs on it, and it's pretty weak, man.
It's a new worm targets Lupper. That's it.
Lupper.
And see, the problem with this is it's not a Linux worm. It takes advantage of certain
PHP worm.
PHP, which I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I've looked at a couple different articles and resources on this, that if you have your X system, whatever it is, running a web server with PHP, and you have those scripts in there and those files, no matter what OS you're on, you could get compromised. Am I correct?
No, you're not. You're partially correct, but not totally correct. What it does is it's looking for a really, really weak PHP install, like one that you have your registered globals on and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's using those PHP exploits to gain entry into your web server system. However, most PHP installs now at this point, like newer, clean PHP installs, don't have any of that crap running. And so you can't get in to use that exploit. Plus, if you look at the files it's looking for, it's only looking like maybe a dozen different pieces of software. You know what I mean? So it's not like something that takes advantage of any custom holes that you might have left open from personal programming or something like that. It's looking for, you know, it's looking for known stuff through, you know, Bblogger or something like that.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if you were running,
even then you have to have your PHP has to be really insecure.
If you were running basically the same PHP setup with the same application on FreeBSD, would you be just as susceptible?
Just as susceptible on FreeBSD, Windows, Solaris, you name it.
Right, but that's what I was saying. So it doesn't...
It has nothing to do with Linux at all.
Yeah, it's not really a Linux worm. It just was... It's a PHP worm.
Which is what it appears to be, but they originally said that it was a Linux worm, which a lot of people have kind of busted. I think somebody equated it to saying, you know, it's as much as a Linux worm as if there was a flaw in Macromedia's Flash Player on Windows, so it would be a Windows worm. That's the equation that they were talking about right there. What are you going to do? I'm switching. I'm going back to Windows now.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be.
Not me. I'm giving up. I'm going back to DOS.
Format A colon.
Go back to Abacus.
Abacus. But that was, happy days. Either of you guys Because I don't think Pat's on, because he's sick. Either you guys tried Clicks yet?
No, not yet.
No, I haven't, but Pat is on. He's on the IRC chat.
I played around...
Only because I haven't had any problems with just my standard...
Oh, yeah,
the standard five-step install, you know?
Yeah.
Exception of using check install at the end, so in case I don't like it, just boom, blow it away.
I tried using Clicks on Ubuntu, and I'm just not having the same great, wonderful experience everybody else seems to be having. And I don't know why, damn it.
And this wonderful experience would be? One-click install?
One-click, not install, but one-click run.
Okay.
It'll drop it down. You guys listened to the TPN this week, right? The one where they talked about Clicks? Maybe you didn't. And she pulled down Penguin Command or something like that. And I figured, you know, I've used Clicks successfully on some other stuff. But I decided to try it because I haven't played Penguin Command in a while, so I figured I'd try it. And I tried to run it, and then it froze my KDE session on me. It didn't, freeze it on me, but it took over the mouse, and then it locked the mouse, and then the program itself crashed and wouldn't run. I don't know. So I'm not having a good Clicks experience so far, 100%. Some of it seems to work.
Only half your headphone working
again
there, Dan?
Yeah.
My Click experience has been absolutely perfect, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because you ain't using it.
Two reasons. One, I don't run KDE, and two, I don't run Click.
Well, that would work, then.
So, I'm good that way.
No, I turned the volume down. Over here, I didn't realize there was two volume knobs. I'm like, why am I putting this up and down? And it's not. Right.
I don't know, those $5 headphones are just too much for you there, Dan.
That's it. They confound and confuse me.
Hey, it's not the price. It was the thought, right, Alan?
That's it. That's all that matters.
Hey, they're Novas, man.
Yeah. No one else has headphones like that anywhere around here, I guarantee it.
No one else has had headphones like that in 20 years.
That's right, exactly.
I still say we should have, put the little antenna on the top of them. They're perfect for that.
I'm either ready for a hearing test or an episode of Ultraman.
You know what they remind me of? I remember reading it, seeing in the Radio Shack catalog a long time ago, was the FM headphones that looked like that had the little antenna sticking out of the one side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm the only one that actually remembered ever seeing those.
No, the telescoping antenna, remember?
It was the metal antenna.
The metal telescoping antenna, yeah. I remember
I was looking, you wear those things, end up looking like my favorite Martian.
Hey, what's this from, Alan? Hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later. What was that from?
Not totally sure.
Nobody knows? Commercial on TV? They drove by. Hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later. You don't remember what that's from?
Mr. Microphone.
That's right. Rob Fields, Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone. Oh, wow.
Then the Pocket Fisherman.
I remember that.
And the Smokeless Ashtray.
Smokeless Ashtray. Yeah. He had the jerky machine. You can make your own beef jerky. It was basically just like a little heating element with a grill over top of it. Yeah.
And the record cleaner, remember that? Where you put the record in there and it would spin
around,
and it would clean it. And the rotisserie, man.
The rotisserie.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
But then the directions say, you really shouldn't forget it when you set it.
I don't know. You have one?
Right.
I do have one. I love it. It's great.
Dude, I think the Pocket Fisherman was the best one, though.
I do, yeah. Even though I haven't fished in, years, I mean, that was, great to have in, the back of the car or something when I did actually fish. But I did actually have
hair.
One, so.
I
spray on
hair. My mom went through a phase where she loved rotisserie chicken. So for Christmas or for her birthday, I bought her a rotisserie. But the thing is, she didn't want a rotisserie. She wanted rotisserie chicken. You know, it's a complete opposite of, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish, he'll eat for his life.
She wants you to make the chicken for.
Yeah, she didn't want to learn to fish. She wanted to fish. She wanted the rotisserie chicken.
Smart lady.
That's it. I don't know if
you
she
know, if you'd have just deal. Bought her like three or four rotisserie chickens, she'd have been happy with that.
That's it. It would save you
saying spray on hair. I laughed at that. It's like his spray on hair is nothing more than colored powder. It was great.
But I bet you a lot of people bought it.
Colored powder in an aerosol can.
You guys don't know how much I wish that I had actually seen somebody that was using that when that was out.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine
I had bated breath, holding my breath, waiting to see somebody with that in their head, man.
Imagine what happened the first time you got caught in the rain. It's colored slop falling off your hair. Yum, all right.
Talk, Alan. I'm busy chatting on the IRC.
Oh, you're busy chatting? What do you want to talk about?
Talk about the new Slackware 10.2. Well, actually, isn't even really new anymore. But
yeah,
I'm really digging
it
on my laptop.
I've had it on the laptop here.
Yeah, it's been out for a while, but I just installed it last week.
And you're liking it? I take it.
It's awesome. It's like it's got to be probably two or three times faster than the last Slackware install that I had on my laptop.
It went on really easy. Like I said, I've just been lazy. I haven't put any of my stuff that I had originally on here back. Like bookmarks and shit like that. But it works really great. I like it. I've got to get it upgraded onto my desktop machine now. And I'm slowly making backups of everything.
Good stuff, man.
Good eats.
Alton Brown would say it's good eats.
Good eats.
Good eats.
Dehydrator out of a window fan and some air filters. I want to see you put one of those together, Dan.
With that fan right there, blow dust right through everything, right?
Well, yeah, I think we want to start with a cleaner fan than what's in the window right now. But I haven't seen Good Eats in quite a while. I used to watch that religiously, and I haven't had chance to sit down and watch it lately.
I watch it. I have it on season pass.
Brown
actually, now what I should do is put it on
Myth. An awesome person to have as a guest on the show.
Yeah, you think we should email him and see if he'll come on?
I went to one of his shows in Allentown.
I think that would be cool.
At one of those Wegman Fets they had in Allentown. They had him one. Actually, they had him last year. I missed him last year, but the year before that. And it's basically he sat and talked for an hour on how to cook an egg.
Yeah.
It was really, really interesting.
And Chef America.
Yeah, Iron Chef.
I guess we better call our guest.
I want more. I want Morimoto to be on.
This is going to be fun. Call him up and transfer him into the chat and hope everything goes right.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right, Link, I'm going to hang up on you.
If it doesn't, folks, I'll be dropping off.
Yeah, so we'll call it. We'll be back to you in just a minute. All right? All right?
Mm.
Okay.
Wahoo, huh? Wahoo,
yeah, we'll be back with you in just a minute. I'm going to call him and then transfer him in.
Unless he does it like you did to me last week.
We'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Hold go on. To it, man. I'm listening on the stream. Here we go.
All right. I hope this works. We tested it like six times before the show.
which only means that it's not going to work now.
I'm nervous.
God, what is that?
It's the dial. The ring.
Hi there, Stephen Von Nickel speaking.
Hi, Stephen. It's Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show.
Hi there. How's it going?
All right. Just want to let you know you're live right now.
Well, I guess I must be alive. I do have a pulse, and I would say from that slight delay that something interesting is happening to the audio signal, so yeah.
All right. Stephen, I'm going to transfer you into our conference where Link is. So we can all be on,
and
I'll be right back with you in just a minute, but you will be in the conference with Link. So hold on.
Sounds good.
Let's hope that worked.
I don't know. I didn't hear the little beep go off.
No, I'm going in now. Hello.
Hi there. Stephen Von Nichols here.
Hello.
Great.
All right. This worked.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, we hear you perfectly.
Excellent.
All right.
Can you guys hear me still?
Yeah, we hear you, Link.
All right. I'll shut up now.
No, you could go ahead and do your talking. Stephen, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. You're the senior editor at Ziff Davis?
Yep, Ziff Davis Internet, which means eWeek, Linux devices, desktop Linux, Linux Watch. Had a couple of other odds and ends. Basically, my hat is, if it has something to do with Linux or open source, I should at least know about it. I might not, actually, as things go, but I should at least know about what we're doing in any of our publications.
So you really got your finger on the pulse of the Linux and open source community, then?
Well, I try. Some days I'm more successful than others, but I do try. So I'll be happy to chat to you about Linux or open source or how journalism handles the above or whatever strikes your fancy.
You know, that's a good point right there.
You know, what I think is funny. Go ahead, Dan.
No, you go ahead, Link. Go ahead.
I was going to say what I think is funny is that. I was reading a lot about you today,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of your articles, and you have a fantastic amount of Linux and open source articles online, and I keep getting copies of your byline where it does your a description of you and things like that, and I'm thinking all these people have been telling me for the years that you got to be some kind of rocket scientist to run Linux, and here we are going to interview mm-hmm. a guy that worked for the DOD and NASA, so I thought that was funny.
That's true. Well, there is a reason why Linux and rocket science goes together, but it's not because actually that you have to be super bright to use Linux, because that really isn't true, particularly with some of the easy-to-use distros out there now, like, of course, my mind just went blank, Simply Methus, Linspire, Zandros. I mean, you can just stick these things in and run. No problem about it. But the real reason why there's a connection between NASA and Linux is that, frankly, although it sometimes appears to people on the outside looking in like NASA has a lot of money, it doesn't have really much money at all. It is, for really since the 60s, it's been a shoestring operation. Once we got to the moon, the real money stopped flowing. And as a result of that, we still have these projects, and people still have to make these things work. But when you don't have money, you have to get creative. And open source software is nothing if not creative. And that's, one reason why, I worked at Goddard Space Flight Center for most of my time at NASA, which is, as some people in the audience know, will be where Beowulf, the first true Linux cluster, came from. And Beowulf Linux clustering came about simply because we didn't have the resources to do anything else. I wasn't involved with the Beowulf project, but I knew the people who were doing it, and I knew exactly why they were doing it. They needed a cheap supercomputer. And, well, there was Linux. There were these old boxes, and... And thus, Beowulf was born.
And that's a pretty hot project there, Beowulf. That's really, Linux clustering in general has really taken off.
Yeah, it really has. And it's taking off more so than I think a lot of people realize that it has. Right now, if you're in big business circles, the hot topic right now is virtualization. Now, what the heck is virtualization? Unfortunately, right now it's one of those terms that it's kind of fuzzy on the edges, but what it really is about is clustering and supercomputing. We getting all these boxes so they have so much raw power that you can just sort of say, okay, you pretend to be this part of the computer because we've got so much power we can afford to do that and still get great performance, and you do this job, you do that job, and so on. And So Linux clustering is going to become, I think, in the next year or two, a really hot area where there'll be a lot of interesting work going on, and maybe even a new company or two making some serious money from it. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's it is very, very interesting. But turning it around to the desktop, you had mentioned a handful of easy-to-use distributions, Mepis, Zandros, Linspire. A lot of those those three distributions that you speak of, it seems like the Linux community almost gets a little sour taste in their mouth because they start to mention Linspire. You got, you know, proprietary issues and making it, you know, the concern about everybody running as root, and Zandros again with you know, being a little proprietary, and Mepis, which I don't know, did that drop off the face of the earth or is that still going? I mean, there's been some.
Oh yeah, Mepis is still, you know, very much alive and well and ticking along there. You know, one reason why you may not have heard of that much about Mepis itself doing stuff recently is they got really involved with Ian Murdoch and the whole Debian Core Consortium, except that's not really its name now, thing. So they're putting a lot of their time and effort into, you know, sort of improving that, you know, that line of the Debian descent. You know, as for the others, I don't really think it's so much the proprietary issue there. I think that particularly a lot of old-school Linux people who, you know, their first experiences with Linux were with some of the really sort of primal Linux distributions, where the canard that Linux is difficult to use, where it really sort of came from. You know, those people who know their shell commands backwards and forwards, that kind of thing, and, you know, Slackware was their first distribution, and Slackware is still their main distribution. I think some of those people are just sort of resentful that basically, you know, Linux has really gotten easy. I mean, I recently ended up writing a story about, a short little piece about Linux command line tools, and along the way I realized that as I was writing this, in response to some readers I've been hearing from, I was writing this for an audience which didn't really get that to really get their hands deep into the system and make it do what they want, occasionally you still need to go back to shell scripts and command lines. And I thought, what's happened here? This is ridiculous. I have to explain to a Linux audience that you can't do everything with a GUI? My God, what is... This is just so different from how it used to be. And I think, you know, it's kind of like when you find a new band and it's really cool, but then they become really popular, and then you get people saying, oh, they've sold out and so on. I see people getting resentful at all these distributions, and, you know, Red Hat probably gets the most resentment. And I think, for the most part, it's really just sort of misplaced. It's just that Linux has become much more popular than people thought that it would. I mean, people talked about, you know, Linux sort of conquering the world. Well, in a way, it really is. And when that happens, though, you know, the dynamic changes. It's no longer this neat thing that we insiders know about. It's now something the whole world is sharing
with. That big line of resentment coming towards Linux, more so than from, you know, the old Linux people to the new Linux people, is from the old Unix people towards Linux. I see a lot of big resentment going on there all the time.
Yeah, I've I actually cut my teeth on Unix. I mean, I've been using this stuff since System 7 Unix, which I don't want to think about how long ago that was. Let's just say that a 7-track tape was what I used for storage media in those days. We didn't have 9-track tape yet, and I suspect 90% of the audience don't even know what I'm talking about, which is fine. This is ancient history now. Yeah, but I think a lot of the Unix people, I certainly know this is the case at Sun, which is one reason why it sort of seems like Sun is schizophrenic at times about sometimes they love Linux, sometimes they hate Linux, and it's hard to tell from day to day what you're going to get. I think you really see there is the old, it depends on sort of like who's in, who's on the rise on any particular day. When the old Sun-off people are feeling their oats and so on, you know, they tend to be really down on Linux, because in many ways Linux has been the success story that Unix was supposed to be, but it never was. So I think there's just a lot of resentment about that. tech, for that matter. You could even say that that's one of the reasons why SEO started the home madness that they started a couple of years ago.
So, in your opinion, do you think Linux...
Yeah, I think they just want a bigger piece of the pie.
Yeah, well, you know, that too. No question about it.
In your opinion, do you think Linux is ready for the general user desktop?
I think it's ready for the business user desktop. I won't say general user because a lot of people still like to play games. You know, I mean, let's face it. For most people, a personal computer is about the web, which Linux can do as good as anybody. Email, same thing, as good as anybody. And games. And, okay, and games, you know, Linux is not there. I mean, Loki software tried and flopped, really, when you get right down to it, you know. Hats off to the good people there who worked and boos to the bad people who worked there, but, you know, it just didn't go. And so in a business, you don't care that much if you can't run the latest World of Warcraft or Guild Wars or whatever strikes your fancy. But the home, you know, that still is a real problem. And, you know, I'm not sure that actually is ever really going to get solved, but I don't think that Windows is going to solve it either. What I see happening as we move ahead with games and computers is I see consoles continuing to become more and more dominant. People who tend to think PC game-centric don't really realize how much a bigger deal the console are in terms of dollars spent on them and so on. But, you know, to get back to the main point, yeah, I mean, Linux is more than ready for a business desktop or somebody who just wants to get work done at home. There's no question about it in my mind. It's there. Use it.
So aside from games, probably say one of the things that we've been talking about that's problematic is video codecs, DVD.
Right.
Legal DVD. And, of course, right now, aside from Magnatunes and a few others, is being able to purchase music electronically online and, you know, integrate it or upload it to your personal music playing device, be it an iPod or an iAudio, an iRiver, or whatever MP3/multimedia player that you have.
I certainly hear you on that. That at this, at this very moment, I've got one of my desktops here in my office. I've got iTunes 4.9 running on top of Wine on top of SUSE 10. And I'm coming closer to being able to sync up with an iPod, but I'm not there yet. And even so, that's not really a Linux solution because I'm using Wine, which is a Windows application interface running on top of Linux to run a Windows app, iTunes. And when I look at those problems, though, those really aren't technology problems per se. Those are all legal problems. And what I see happening right, really just in the last couple of weeks, is those problems I think are going to break, and they're going to break in a hurry. And that's because the television and movie industry has looked at what happened to the music industry, which tried their darndest to kill off file sharing. They killed off Napster. Well, something else sprang up. And then they killed that off, and now we've got BitTorrent there. And I think the movie and television people looked at this and said, you know what, we really can't stop it. We need, and then they looked at Apple with iTunes and said, you know what, Apple has the right idea. They make money from it. And at the same time, the bottom line is they were making money off it. So why don't we do things like AOL is now going to be sending out all of these old television shows, admittedly with a little bit of advertising put on them, you know, and all these other companies are moving to putting their TVs and their movies on. Of course, we've got all these content owners now, really, again, just in the last month, I guess, have decided, let's get our stuff out there so that people can get to it relatively cheaply or legally, and they have to watch some ads on it. And as they all do this, I think we're going to see a lot of this digital right management stuff and all these totally incompatible codecs disappear, because their real interest is going to be, they want to get the content out there to people. And the easiest way to get content out of there is rip out all the DRMs and say, okay, here is the codec. We don't have time or the expertise to write it up. You guys, here's the source code. Have fun. And, you know, the Linux people will take it from there. So, you know, I would say a year from now, the problems that you're describing, which are real problems today, aren't going to exist at all for anyone. We'll be, you know, what I think is going to be interesting is seeing how the business models are going to change. And I don't think we're, I think the movie business has learned the right lessons from the RIAA debacles with trying to regulate music. But how that really is going to work out, how that's going to change everything, it's going to be a really different world, but in what way different, I don't know. I just know that by this time next year, I expect to have, I don't know, Susie 11 in front of me and running a, be able to watch a video from a DVD legally, no fuss, no muss, and being able to sync into my my 1 terabyte iPod. Well, that may be a bit much, but you get the idea.
You know what? That's got to be the most optimistic thing I've heard in the past year. I mean, I really hope that you're right on that. I really do, because when I look at,
you know, if you had asked me the same question, you know, 3 months ago, I would have said, you know what, it's going to be a long, hard road for the same, you know, the legal and business political reasons I mentioned before. But now, I mean, you can hardly, if you're like me, and because from what I do, I have to always keep my eyes on what's going on in technology, who's doing what to whom. I mean, it has just exploded. This is a real change in how the video people are viewing this. And the audio people are going to have to, the Sonys at all are going to have to follow along here in a hurry. Especially now that Sony is so...
Do you think
totally
that the RIAA has actually learned their lesson?
No, I don't think the RIAA has. But I think the distributors have figured it out. I mean, I know the big-time video distributors have looked upon this and said, you know what, Apple's right. You got to make this work. There's no point in trying to force everybody into living in the past. It's just not going to work. It just flat out isn't.
Now, what then has been the turning point? Because in the past week, I mean, 2 weeks, we've had the whole Sony apologizing for the rootkit debacle, then the rumors that their PlayStation 3, they're working on a technology to patent and make it impossible to use a PSP or PlayStation 3 disc on any other system once you've used it on your home system, and be able to, you know, sell it back to use game vendor or trade it with somebody else. I mean, when we're talking like that, and possibly using that technology into their DVDs and other media, what have you seen that has really changed the market or started this turnaround? Is the media just like behind in what's being reported and from what you're seeing?
It's not. Well, I see a couple of things happening here. One, again, is the video people have just seen. I mean, if you look at the internet traffic right now, if you look at anybody like Netcraft that measures the raw traffic, what is the number one thing that eats up internet bandwidth? And it outweighs the web, it outweighs VoIP, it outweighs email, even with all the spam, it outweighs email, it outweighs FTP, and that is, it's peer-to-peer. It is just, it's nothing else even comes close to it. So when everybody is doing it, and all previous attempts to stop it, circumvent it, whatever, have all flopped. I mean, you can either choose to ignore the fact, or you can say, you know what, Apple's making big-time money from this. We should adopt an Apple model and, you know, figure out a way to get people to pay for this stuff. Now, as far as, you know, Sony is concerned, Sony, the trouble with Sony and with their digital rights management stuff, which turned out to be a key for making real trouble with security rootkits. I really think Sony is in a world of trouble, and we're only, it's kind of like the Titanic. We know we've hit an iceberg. I don't think anyone really much realizes just how much trouble Sony is going to get into because of this, though. Because that rootkit junk that they put in there is really nasty stuff. It's really hard to detect. It's really hard to rip out. And it serves as a very nice model for other people to invent similar things. And I can see Sony getting themselves sued left, right, and sideways by people who find their Windows machines trashed by a viral rootkit, which once you look at the source code, you can say, you know what, that came from Sony originally. And this is, you can read, we've got some new coverage of it on eWeek.com. It's pretty darn scary out if you're out there, if you're a Windows user now. Again, nobody really has realized this yet, but we see this coming, and it's ugly because this isn't like the virus situation in the past where, yeah, it's deadly while it's here, but the viral people eventually catch up and fix their programs to catch it. This stuff is a lot harder to fix using traditional antiviral techniques. You know, 10% more. I mean, like, another quantum level harder to deal with.
Right.
Fortunately, on Linux, we don't have to worry about that yet. Hopefully, we never will.
Well, I hope so, too. And, you know, one of the things I want to ask you, and, you know, and listening to what you've been saying, it kind of makes
sure.
The question I was going to ask almost obsolete. But in going back with the proprietary codecs and the legality of using them, I mean, here today, legally I can't play a DVD on Linux or I can't watch Windows media files on Linux. And one of the things I was going to ask you, if you think in the future,
right,
you know, if they keep going down this road like this, what can a Linux user do? Would they be able to buy a license to watch DVDs? Would they be able to buy a license to... use the Windows Media Codecs. Is that available now, and or do you think that will be in the future?
It will be in the future. The DVDs, certainly. I imagine this time next year. I mean, you're just going to put your DVD into your Linux box as it. You know, you just installed the system, or hopefully you just bought a machine with Linux already installed from your CompUSA or your Office Depot, whatever, you bring it home and you just put the DVD in and you watch it, and that'll be it. Microsoft, no, they're going to hold on to their codecs for as long as possible, and I'm sure it will still be illegal to do anything with their, well, it won't, this is where things get really fuzzy, is what's legal and what's not legal with a codec. But I'm sure it will still be around. Microsoft will still have it proprietary. But I don't think it's going to matter that much because there'll be so much other content out there that is not bound up with a Microsoft codec that it's going to be one of those, yeah, it doesn't matter, or you'll use a transcoding program just to bring it over into something that's readable. So, you know, it's going to become one of those moot points. Yeah, you can't watch it, you know, so what? You know, just get a copy from somebody who can will let you watch it.
But then that's not legal if you get a copy from somebody.
But I think that there will be other copies available, legal copies that'll be available.
Oh.
If Microsoft still wants to stick it in their codec, that's fine. But you don't have to watch up the Microsoft version. You can watch somebody else's version, a legal copy of somebody else's version.
You know, what I thought was going to happen, and I thought this was going to happen, like, already, they're having all this problem with the codecs, and decoding DVDs is supposedly, quote-unquote, illegal on Linux. But I figured what would take off is the big movie corporations would start selling their movies online, you know, online versions of the movies where you could just, like, download the thing and watch
that.
It. And then, yeah, and it would just be, you know, it'd be in a regular media file, so it really didn't matter whether or not you could play it on DVD because you have it, you know?
That's what's happening right now. In the last two or three weeks, you can see that happening. I mean, this isn't in my crystal ball, I predict. I mean, this is happening right now, today. And this is a trend that I can only see continuing. You know, and one of the things that I think and that's sort of interesting about this is we've been talking about DVDs. I'm not sure that, you know, all this talk about Blu-ray DVDs versus so and so on, I'm not sure that's really going to matter at all, because I really think that by this time next year, you'll be able to legally download pretty much anything you want to watch. You'll pay some sort of fee, anywhere from $1.99 to $5.99, something like that, to get a copy of whatever your favorite movie is. It may even be movies that are still showing in the theaters. So that's sort of an interesting thing that one or two companies are exploring right now. And it's not going to matter about the DVDs, because you're going to just download it and store it on your hard drive somewhere. Or, you know, you watch it once, you don't want to see it anymore, you just zap it and it goes away. And so, again, you know, an entirely different model, business model, than the one we're used to seeing from these movie studios. But, you know, I see this happening, and I see this happening in a hurry. I keep toying with this idea of a story where I like a column probably where I talk about this. And, you know, and you can talk all you want to about Blu-ray DVDs have this much storage and they're easier to use. But, again, you know, I don't think it's going to matter, because I think the real stories for video in the future is going to be the terabyte or so you have on your computer or on your server, and that's where the stuff stays.
Absolutely, and the big piece of that that's making all of this possible is the fact that your data access rates are getting faster and faster and faster and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly so. And I'm a case in point. These days I live outside Asheville, North Carolina, which is a neat little arty town in the mountains of North Carolina, and I live about 6 miles out. I live literally on a mountain overlooking a national forest, and I have in this house 3 megabytes downstream and 1.5 going up using ADSL, which is about twice as much as one of the very first commercial ISPs, Digix, had about 10 years ago when the web was brand new, and this whole idea of the Internet being something you could make money from rather than just something for schools and for the military in case the atomic bombs ever started to drop. And, you know, and my mind boggles. I've got real bandwidth here in the middle of the woods, and that's many times more than this company that I helped the people put this first ISP together using Sun boxes, 12 years ago. It's kind of mind-boggling just how fast it's been.
Mm-hmm. What services were you were referring to that have taken off in the past couple of weeks?
You know, I'd have to look up their names right now, and I don't have them in front of me. But if you look at any of the tech news sites over the last couple of weeks, just look for video and for movies and so on. You'll see them. I think Microsoft got into the act yesterday or today. I forget who they were allying with. But this doesn't require any deep looking. You'll find these folks, everywhere.
And are you?
So here we have a story. We just published this story over in PC Mag. Actually, it's a Reuters story we took from PC Mag. All the networks have agreed that DVRs actually are good for television. A year ago, all the networks were saying DVRs, most of which run Linux, by the by, were, you know, bad, bad news, and they were killing them. Now they're talking them up and saying this is great, and how can we download directly into them. So there you go.
So what you're saying now, as a Linux user right now, I'd be able to start taking advantage of those services?
Yeah, they will be.
I will be?
And it won't be long. Yeah.
So you're saying that the companies, have, in your opinion, have come to their senses and said, we're not going to restrict this to only Windows users and require them to have Internet Explorer to access this information, or to Mac users.
Yeah.
With QuickTime, yeah, so it's going to be wide open.
They want to get the content out to as wide an audience as they can. And even though the Linux desktop market and the Mac desktop market is a lot smaller than Windows, they also know that Linux and Mac people tend to be early adopters. We're the people who try out new technology. We're the people who start buzz going. They've figured this out, and I really don't – I see them – delivering, I don't want to use the, I'll just use the word generic, these generic video streams that you will be able to view and store with a variety of programs, and I see at least some of these guys just saying, you know, well, here's the source code, have fun, here's how the codecs work, you know, have fun, build something that people can run it, just be sure to put a button on it so that they can pay us $1.99 or whatever to get our download.
Well, that's cool. One of the things that had really, you know, concerned me about 2 months ago, because I work with for a school district, and I was in a meeting where they were talking about there are services out there that provide video on demand, particularly education for school districts, educational videos and everything, and what they were talking about, though, was that, you know, the services are going to start changing. They're going to have, and there was another service they were looking into, and that you're looking at a lot of DRM and digital rights management and restrictions on what you can do with these videos and how it's been incorporated into the service, and you're restricted in how you can actually play these files on your systems, what you can do with them. You can't, you know, take bits and pieces out of them and use them for educational purposes, because that would violate the license or the DRM and everything. But, you know, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, man, I would love to be able to bring, you know, Linux desktops into the school district and take some of those old machines that are just running like dogs with the Windows operating system and put Linux on there and give them some more life. But then, you know, I can't legally put the codecs on it. We can't stream these videos because of the restrictions, you know, and like I said, that that had me concerned. Now, with what you're saying, is hopefully in a year all that's going to be dissolved, and I think that, you know, it seems like a cash cow that certain companies would be throwing out should that be dissolved.
Yeah, well, when I say this, I mean things like popular media. I mean, like right now you can buy episodes of Lost and from Apple, there you go, you got it. And so that sort of thing continuing, particularly with popular media. So I'm talking movies and television shows. Now, what you're talking about, say, educational programs and so on, unfortunately, that stuff always tends to be trailing edge. So you're going to continue to see a sort of a hodgepodge of companies, a hodgepodge of codecs that's continuing to do that. They're going to continue to follow that business method, and so it's going to be a while for those businesses to change their ways, because they tend to be really slow, stick-in-the-mud type companies, and that's going to be a pain. But now, on the other hand, if you wanted to, say, listen to NPR broadcast, if you wanted to get PBS shows, there I imagine you can see some hope for those shows being available in a non-proprietary, vendor-neutral way, and those should be displayable on a Linux machine. If you're talking about an educational
things
program...
Things like the BBC is already doing that, right?
Yeah, exactly. The BBC, if you're in the UK, you already can do that. And I see PBS and NPR following that model here. I mean, NPR's National Public Radio is already heading in that direction anyway. You know, they've got their own things to work out. You know, again, I guess to go back to a theme I've been sort of harping on is, you know, the problem here has never been the technology. the problem isn't even an open versus closed problem the way so many other Linux situations are. No, the problem here is it's always just been business models and people wanting to hang on to their property so tightly that in this modern world where broadband is everywhere, it doesn't make sense. And again, thanks to the disastrous attempts of the RIAA, the big companies realized, you know what, we can't do business as usual. We just can't do it. So we better figure out ways to make money from this new way of doing it. And, you know, they are now. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I just... But when you say it's not so much about the technology as it is about the business practice, I mean,
right.
A lot of the stuff I see that comes out these days is either QuickTime format, Apple's MPEG 4 mm-hmm. for QuickTime, or Windows Media.
Right.
And again, we're back to that mm-hmm. whole thing is I can't legally play that.
And I think that's going to change in a great hurry. I really do. If you had to ask me which format's going to win, I'd bet on a non-proprietary implementation of MPEG 4.
Uh-huh.
It's out there. It works. And there's already non-proprietary versions of it out there anyway. So, you can do things like then put out HDTV in MPEG 4, and you get a whole lot more HDTV goodness for your bandwidth than you do with anything else. You'll see that, you know, once my, I'm getting sort of tired of saying a year away, but, you know, a year away from now, DirecTV, for example, are going to have all their new HDTV satellites up there. We're going to see a lot more HDTV available if you're a satellite user because those satellites are going to be transmitting MPEG-4 encoded HDTV programs down rather than today's MPEG 2, which is a lot fatter as far as video is concerned.
Well, I hope it all does turn around in the next year. That sounds like pretty exciting stuff.
I really think it is. No BS, I really do.
So you had mentioned that you were using iTunes through Wine, and have you tried using Sharp Music, which allows you to purchase?
No, I confess I have not tried that one. I am a big iTunes fan. I am actually I have always been I've always been a big Steve Jobs fan ever since the original Macs. I loved the Next Station. For the longest time, I had a Color Turbo Next Station, which was in some ways still the coolest Unix Linux-based system I have ever had my hands on. Hopelessly obsolete by today's standards, but still in many ways the prettiest computer I have ever used. And so I'm just sort of sold on iTunes.
Is that the Mono Slab or the Cube?
The Cube. Actually, this was the Mono. I had a Cube too at one time. It's a wonderful, wonderful machine.
Those
even
are
the even the Silicon Graphics books, the Silicon Graphics Indigo, which was also way up there on my list of favorite workstations. It's kind of odd to have favorite workstations, but again, I've been at this for a long time.
So are you running OS X over there?
Yeah, I've got a copy of Tiger sitting here running. My actual desktop is I've got 6 boxes here, and I use a pair of KVMs so that they run through 2 displays and 2 keyboards and all that jazz. And I've got 2 XP boxes because I need to know what the enemy is up to as well. A Mac running Tiger. Another box running a really, really early version of Leopard, which is a Mac on Intel. And 2 SUSE boxes and a Zandros box.
So what's your impression of Leopard?
It's not here yet. There's a reason why it's not here yet. But it looks pretty darn spiffy, though. I have always, you know, to this, you know, you can go around and around about KDE versus GNOME, and goodness knows I have, and generally speaking, I favor KDE over GNOME. But, you know, you really cannot beat Mac Aqua. It is pretty, it is slick, it everything just fits together like a well-oiled machine. And it's just, you know, it's a step above anything else that's out there now. And the Leopard interface, at this point, they really haven't done much with it. It's basically that looks the same as Tiger. It's running on a Pentium 4 rather than a PowerPC. And but it's, you know, and that's fine. It works fairly well. You know, you can really tell this is alpha software. I'll be there, no doubt about it. But certainly, you know, come the day, whenever that day might be, that Microsoft Vista, the next generation of Windows, comes along, Leopard is going to be sitting there and waiting for it. And I, for one, because I have seen a lot of Vista as well, I don't see that Vista with its Aeroglass interface is going to be much competition. I really don't. So if you want pretty, pretty desktops, you know, much as I love Linux, you know, Mac OS is still the way to go. Of course, you will also pay a pretty penny for that pretty, pretty desktop. But, oh, well, that's also something about Steve Jobs you just have to keep in mind.
What is it you find so pretty about OS X? I mean, because I find it a little stifling. I mean, it's kind of nice. I do like, you know, some of the features like true transparency, but I mean, a lot of people think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but I don't see it. I mean, what is it? What am I missing? Because I use it every day.
Well, here's the thing. There's always been sort of two schools of thought about how the interface should work. On the Linux Unix side, you've always had people who want the maximum possible amount of power from over their desktop. They want to be able to tweak and twist not just the physical appearance, but every process that goes on behind there to get the maximum amount of goodness from that machine. And that has always been the push of Unix and now Linux. On the other side of that coin are the Mac people, and they have always been about making the desktop as integrated and as cleanly meshed together as possible so that it is a seamless whole. And those are two very different approaches, and I can, for whatever reason, I can appreciate both. But people who tend to really be hardcore about Linux or Unix tend to just tell me exactly what you did. They don't see what's so special about OS X, and the flip and the reverse of that is, of course, the OS X people have trouble understanding why the Linux and people get so excited about, you know, the latest twist in KDE or GNOME or what have you. And it's really a matter of where you're coming from. If you want a desktop where the applications in desktop are all just one smooth continuum, where everything just sort of links together so transparently that you don't even or aren't aware that they're linking together, you'll be very happy with a Mac. On the other hand, if you want to get your hands in there and really make sure that one program you're running runs as best, as well as humanly possible, then you don't want the Mac. You want a Unix machine. I should add, though, of course, you can get deeper into the Mac and do those kind of things, too. But they don't make it easy because that's not the direction they were going into. You really have to be a real BSD mock kernel Mac expert at a level much higher than a Linux expert normally would be to get the same sort of performance benefits a Linux user can get from the same box.
Fair enough. I get that. You know, what I would really love to see is better integration between Aqua and the X11 server on OS X.
Mm-hmm.
If they could just...
You and me both.
Oh, that would be so beautiful.
You and me both. Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is that is, I know for a fact, one of the goals of Leopard is to make that whole thing and that level, a whole lot more seamless than it is now. And I'm going, go for it, guys. I would love to see that done.
I got a question I really got to get to because Pat wanted me to ask this of you. But before I hit you with that one, I mean, you had just bringing up talking about Leopard, Apple's move to Intel architecture. Do you think that's going to kill PPC Linux?
No. I've talked to some of the PPC Linux people. They're going to keep working away at it. IBM is certainly going to be more than happy to help people out who want to work on PPC Linux because their R and I series boxes are still, their mid-range systems are still power-based, and they're going to continue to be power-based going into the future. So PPC, and these days, though, of course, some people still run AIX and some people run OS 400, but more and more of these people are Linux. Even if Linux isn't the native operating system they're using Linux as virtual machines on top of AIX or OS 400. So, I mean, it's not going anywhere. It's going to continue to be a small, but particularly if you're in the business world, it'll be a very important Linux, and it's not going to go anywhere. IBM won't let it go anywhere. They need it.
So we're looking at something that's going to be more geared towards business class and not so much that somebody would probably run at home on, you know, their systems.
I'm sort of waiting to see if somebody tries to build an honest to goodness power-based Linux PC, an actual desktop machine. Some people have tried it, but nobody's really had any significant resources behind them. And I see as Apple moves away from the power market, you know, it strikes me anyway, you know, there's an opportunity here. I don't know if it's that big an opportunity, but if you wanted to have a power-based PC, it strikes me, you know, if you're not going to do it in the next 2 or 3 years, it's not going to happen. And again, it'll still be there because there are all these mid-range machines that most people don't even know about, but they're the machines that keep bank branches going and keep half a dozen different McDonald's or whatever business going. Those back-end machines are still going to be running power, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. And they'll be running Linux on power.
All right. Steering it to another topic, going back towards KDE and GNOME, what's the deal here with Novell? I mean, first they said they were going to, consider dropping KDE and using GNOME and SUSE, which SUSE has been always, you know, from my experience, really in the same court as KDE. I mean, those two seem to integrate together, and now they've changed their tune. Do you think it was just something that slipped out, or... did they make a mistake on their part in talking about doing this?
They just made a mistake, and because you're right, a lot of the SUSE community are heavy KDE users. I should know; I'm one of them. But you see, Novell also has Xeon inside them, as well as SUSE, and Xeon, of course, is the source of all things GNOME. You know, KDE and SUSE go together, but Xeon and GNOME were, for all practical purposes, the same thing. And so you have this conflict there, and they finally decided that to save their resources, because Novell was really trying to cut costs, they were going to go with just one supported desktop. They were going to still put KDE in the open community SUSE desktop. It would always still be there. It wasn't going to go away, but as far as the SUSE Linux Enterprise Server and the Novell Linux desktop, it was going to be just GNOME and nothing but GNOME. And not only did users all yell at them, but a lot of their internal people said, you know, particularly, you know, the SUSE people said, you know what, we have really worked hard at this, and it feels like you're sort of throwing all of our work out to do this. And someone also, I don't know who, but I'm sure someone also did the business case on it, not just a matter of, hey, we like this, this is our work, but someone said, you listen, it doesn't really cost that much more money, and that's what you really, Novell really wants to do is save money. It doesn't cost that much more money to continue to support KDE, because we're going to continue to write KDE anyway. You know, I mean, this is the desktop that we care about. So Novell, and I'll give them credit for this. Novell realized they had made a mistake. They realized they had not only alienated a lot of their user community, which is always a bad idea, but they had also alienated a lot of their best and brightest Linux people. And so they said, you know what? We blew it. Well, they didn't actually say we blew it. They used polite business language, but they admitted they made a mistake. And they did a 180, and now there they are. They're back to supporting both again. And, you know, given the circumstances, I think that was really the smart move to make. I don't think in the long, long term it's going to be smart to have both KDE and GNOME around from a business perspective, but you know what? That's the way the world is today. And for right now, for the next few years, that probably was the, in fact, I don't think it probably, that was the right move to make. If I'd been in a Novell board, I would have said, you know what, we've got to support them both, and that's all there is to it.
So what do you, in the future, what do you see as, and maybe this is obviously a loaded question.
Sure, load away.
Yeah. Is it going to be GNOME? Is it going to be KDE for the business desktop? Is it going to be, you know, both?
The trend on business has been towards GNOME. I mean, you've got Red Hat clearly is committed that way. Novell was committed, of course, to both. Most people's minds was more KDE than anything else. But, at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, they had the GNOME people right in there. And, my honest answer is I just don't know. You can argue the virtues and vices of each one to your blue in the face. Both of them have virtues. Both of them have vices. And right now, I really think that they pretty much balance out. I think in the open source world, the winner is much more so than in the normal retail world. The winner isn't who has the best marketing in open source. The winner is whoever does the best code. And right now, they're still neck and neck. Someday, somewhere, I imagine one of them is going to do, either one group is going to sort of fall down and not do the job, or one group is going to do something truly exceptional, and then that will become the dominant desktop. Or for that matter, though I think this is unlikely, it still may yet end up, I mean, they're so closely balanced, I think there's room here for somebody else to sneak out of the pack. I've never been that crazy about Enlightenment, for example, but I've been hearing more and more people talking about it, so maybe it's time for me to take another look at some of the tinier, and Enlightenment's not that tiny, but still some of the smaller desktops, and see where they're going. Right now, if I had to choose a winner, I couldn't. It's a dead heat.
Yeah, Enlightenment DR17 is pretty interesting. I mean, it's still in alpha, I believe, but it's something to take a look at. And of course, Link is trying to chime in there with XFCE.
XFCE. Yep.
Hope strength eternal.
And Fluxbox. You can't forget about Fluxbox. Fluxbox is really cool.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to make it into, like, the major desktop market niche, but it's still really cool, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the neat things about this whole Linux open source stuff is, you know, the little ones can keep going. It's not like the proprietary world where if something doesn't work, well, it's, you know, it's dead. It becomes abandonware. In Linux and open source, nothing ever really becomes abandonware so long as there's, you know, one person who knows C or C++ and is willing to keep pounding away at it. And so long as there's that one person out there, you never know. They might be able to find a way to...
Look at FVWM. People keep coding for that god-awful ugly thing, too. You know?
Yep, exactly so. Now, that one I don't see appearing... I don't see that one appearing at CompUSA anytime soon, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Sure.
Windowmaker. Ooh.
Oh, please. Maybe not that strange.
Steve.
Oh, gosh.
We are out of time on BinRev, which means that part of our audience...
I see that.
...disappears.
All righty. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you folks.
Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate it. I mean, you really... Like I said, it's been a couple weeks of, you know, doom and gloom from a lot of stuff that I've been looking at, and then you come on with this bright ray of hope, and I'm such optimism, and I would rather,
good to me.
You know, look your direction. Look at the stars that you're looking at.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and hey, if you look at my track record, you'll see I'm not an optimistic person, generally speaking. I tend to be pretty cynical about this stuff. But you know what? Right now is a pretty darn good time to be a Linux user. It really is.
Well, that's good. I hope in a year I'm cheering you on, not cursing your name.
Okay.
I want to thank you.
Good night, folks, and, you know,
thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Indeed.
Great having you on, Stephen. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Should I cut Link off, too?
No, if you have to.
Are you still there,
hey,
Link?
Bite me. Don't be cutting me off.
I was
the Linux Link Tech Show, damn it.
I was concerned that we would...
I'll cut you off. I won't give you any more.
Yeah. I was concerned that we'd have a hard time, you know, finding stuff... To possibly, you know, discuss with them, but I thought that was one of the best ones we've done yet. You know, it was easy.
That was really good, and I like his, I like his optimistic view of things to come for Linux. That's
very positive.
I really hope he's right. That would be an exciting thing to happen. See some things turn around. I mean, it's been turning around ever since. I remember when Dan and I first started the Lug, and you know, we were sitting in my basement amongst all the spiders, and we were talking back and forth, going, you know, next year's going to be the year when they finally accept Linux as a server in the business place, and that came to pass, and you know, that kind of thing. And it's just been ramping up ever since, and I'm excited to see some good things happening, you know.
I hear you. I'm so excited, man. When this show's over, I'm going to punch Alan in the mouth.
About other people that think good things are going to happen. Yeah.
Ooh. Any other good news this week? Gentlemen.
No.
Thanks, Alan. Always the vocal one.
I get paid tomorrow.
So does my wife. What are you going to do with your money? What are you going to buy me?
Hookers and
beer.
I
don't know, but I'm probably just going to bring it home and, like, look at it, you know?
And then pay some bills.
I'm going to look at it for 5 minutes, and I'm going to give it all to my wife so she can pay the bills.
That's it.
Hookers and beer. Hookers
easy
and beer.
In, easy out. Next week is
hookers and beer.
Thanksgiving. So
and forget the beer.
Is your business giving you a turkey there, Link?
Thanksgiving, where it's not hookers and beer, it's mashed potatoes and beer. What?
Is Call Solutions giving you a free turkey?
It's Novo One, by the way. But no, they are not going to give me a free. Not that I know of, anyway. Like,
oh, too bad. What about you, Link, Alan?
I would highly doubt
no, our it. Company did that once on it, and they've been too cheap ever since. They gave us the coupons for Kings.
They actually give
you
the day off, you know?
Yeah. Do you have next Thursday and Friday off?
Yes.
Not just Thursday.
Oh, see, Alan does. I do. You're going to miss Black Friday, my man.
Lucky, lucky you.
I
refuse to leave the house on Black Friday, having had to work it for so many years. I will not go within 10 miles
yes,
of a store.
Hey, you know what?
I used to do retail myself. I know exactly what you're talking about.
My wife says she's getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to go out.
Man,
like,
why?
Have a good time.
You know, the only Black Friday I ever worked in retail was when I worked at Staples for a short stint. And it really wasn't that bad there on Black. But who wants to go to Staples on Black Friday?
I did pick up, I was just thinking of this, on it, that Jones soda. I don't know if you've ever seen it. On it, they have turkey and gravy flavored soda.
I heard of it, but I never tried it.
I've got a six pack now. On it, down at Target, you can buy it. It's like $20 on it, but it's like
$20 for a six pack of soda.
There's six different flavors that all sound
Holy
sick.
Holy crap, man!
They all sound. It's like turkey and gravy. One is like cranberry or something like that. I mean, it's disgusting sounding, but I had to have one.
What did it taste like?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. I just got it tonight.
Oh.
I'm actually going to go back and buy another one.
Oh, man.
Because my Christmas party, we always end up giving each other gifts and stuff. That's going to be my gift at my Christmas party.
Hey, I'll,
I pity the person who gets my name.
I'll eat some asparagus and piss in that bottle right there and
no,
sell it to you for $5.
You don't have to do that. Let me see if I can find the flavors.
Call it bitter asparagus flavored soda. There's our explicit right there this week.
Yeah, bitter asparagus soda.
Oh. Gentlemen. What else? If Pat was here, he'd have something to say. What would Pat say?
He would have to say canonics.
That's it. What would Pat say? It's a new segment.
Canonics something. Canonics, canonics, canonics. We know you're going to listen to this, Pat, so canonics, canonics, canonics. Somebody's running canonics, canonics.
And they like canonics. The holiday pack. Oh, yeah, here you go. Brussels sprouts with prosciutto, cranberry sauce, turkey gravy, wild herd stuffing, and pumpkin pie.
Hey, you enjoy it, man.
And they actually have another. They have another one on it. That's broccoli casserole. Speaking of broccoli, on it, smoked salmon pate. Pate. I really screwed up that name. But turkey gravy, corn on the cob, and pecan pie.
Can you imagine my gas after that? Holy mackerel!
Holy moly! What we really need to make sure is that when you actually taste this soda, either Dan or I has to be present with the video camera. You know, so we can add it into the next DVD.
I just put the link up on the IRC for anybody.
Here's
wants
Alan
to
with the soda. Here's Alan puking up the soda.
Yeah,
here's
I'm
my
sure
dog I, eating it. Yeah. Here's
I'm
my
sure
dog shitting under the table.
It's got to be terrible, but turkey and gravy soda, you just got to have a bottle. Even if you never open it up, you still have to have one.
Oh, man.
I have to find the other pack now. I got the one from Target. Looks like I'm going to have to go to...
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go out to Pittsburgh to get the other one. That sucks.
You can't buy it online?
Do that or New York City or Trenton. Damn well if I'm never going to Trenton. That's damn sure. It doesn't say if I can or not.
Hey, I want to, give shout-outs there to IXCOM. And the author of IXCOM, which, worked great. Being able to transfer a call in and to the conference so we can get Alan, Link and Steve and us all on at the same time.
Yeah, I'm actually using that as my client tonight, and it sounds actually really good, I think.
Yeah, thumbs up.
From my point of view, anyway.
I want to play something here quickly. Link, you won't be able to hear it, but I'm pretty sure you have it. We got an audio file today from a guy. So I want to play this. I'm going to turn you down because I don't want to blow my eardrums out or everybody else. So here's a quick audio file. Link, who sent that to us? Hello from Seattle. Eric from Seattle. Hold on.
Hi, this is Eric from Seattle. When I am not stuck in freaking traffic at 6 o'clock in the morning, I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
There we go.
Cool.
Thank you, Eric. You know, speaking of people and our listeners, I'm really appreciative that a lot of people have signed up on our Frapper map. We're getting more every day, and it's nice to be able to see some faces there with people with pictures, even if some people don't put their picture but something else. It's still really cool. We got people in Egypt. We've got listeners in
Oh, cool. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's more coming every day. And
we are attacking south of the equator now?
Yeah, well, Egypt, yeah. We need some people in South America. I don't think we have anybody. We have people in Central America, but not in South America. We need some more people in Africa and Northeast Asia and the Middle East countries. And it's really cool. I mean, tons of people in the U.S.
Do we have the admin thing for this one so we can, like, make it so it defaults so the map is a little bit farther out?
I don't know. I didn't sign us up on it.
Yeah, okay. Find out from Pat who... We'll find out from the... I forget who did actually sign us up on the webpage.
I think it was Pat.
Was it Pat? I know because I didn't check the webpage when it happened.
Yeah.
It's like, oops, sorry.
Yeah, we need an Antarctica. Australia's going there. I like it. It's some good stuff. Good stuff, yeah.
Gotta get some Russians, too.
That's what I was saying, you know.
She's gonna help us plan our future vacations.
And, you know, we've only had
the hot chicks in Brazil to listen to us.
We had the Frapper map for, what, 3 weeks now, and Link finally signed up the past week?
Because he signed up on
No, I was on the first day, man.
Why did I... Oh, you know what? Do you know what that was? I signed up to get emails when people get added, and it didn't work for the first week or so, and now all of a sudden it kicked in, and I think it posted you as being a new sign up. That's probably what it was. I'm sorry there, Link. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, just don't let it happen again, you know?
It won't. I blame Alan for that.
I smack you with the fish.
Blame me for setting up the bogus one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Huh. I haven't played this one yet. Anything else tonight, gentlemen?
Not for me.
Good for me.
That's it?
Play us out, boy.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
I'm so glad to know that.
Pretty much that's why it's it for me, too, because, you know, I could talk for another half an hour, but I have to piss, so.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll play us out. And, I gotta turn down the volume before I blow everybody's eardrums out.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't be able to blow people's ears. 110 of the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be here next week?
Should be, why?
Hell yeah.
I just, the day before that, I didn't know if anybody was traveling for the holidays.
Nah.
I'll be here.
I'll be there. Make sure you got the turkey and stuffing going on, man.
Well, Link doesn't have to be here anymore. We just put him on the asterisk.
Well, theoretically, we could all just blow it on the asterisk if we had to. Now that it works.
You know, one thing. Does anybody listen to the Daily Source Code anymore?
Yeah, I do.
Link?
No.
What's he talk about anymore? I mean...
Basically, his the podcasting.com thing that he's got running.
What was the big brouhaha that he said no more mashups?
Oh, because he used to play mashups every, you know, opening show with him and stuff. And he got their version of cease and desist things from... what was it? The Dutch version of the RIAA, and I have no clue what it's actually called. I couldn't even begin to pronounce it.
DIAA?
No,
R-I-A-D?
It's one of those, it sounds like one of those things that, you know, like Dutch, blah, blah, blah,
okay,
type thing. For people who don't speak Dutch, I hope I didn't curse anybody out. But anyways, he got a cease and desist, and basically he went and they tried to, what was it? One of the parliaments, he knows some people, I guess, and he went up and talked, and basically they're all saying that you play by our rules, you're not going to play at all, basically. So
I thought he said the rules were different over there.
Well, the rules are different, but I guess they can change them a whole lot faster than they can here. I guess they buy a whole lot more, whatever their version of senators and congressmen are. I guess they can be bought and sold a whole lot better than ours.
That's a bummer, you know. Well, you know what?
Although a lot of the music he's been playing, I mean, it's not bad.
Right.
You know, if you strictly listen to the top 40 crap that comes out, you're going to say, oh, this sucks. But if you, like, have always listened, like, I've always listened to college radio and stuff, where you don't hear top 40 at all. So a lot of the stuff that he's playing, and a lot of stuff that I guess you can pick up off the podcast music network or whatever it is, it's not really that bad. Obviously, right. It's not mainstream, of course, but it's not bad to listen to or anything.
So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, he's getting revenue from his show, isn't he?
He has a couple of sponsors. I'm sure somewhere along the line he's making some money off of it. I know they're pushing that, what is that, iDog, I think. Seems like everybody involved with the podcasting network is pushing this iDog. It's like a Mattel or something like that. And he pushes some sort of iPod speakers, and I don't remember what they are off the top of my head.
See, we need to get some sponsors so we can have ads in the start, middle, end of the show. And,
well, most of his ads,
I
don't know about other people put them on there, but most of his stuff isn't really intrusive ads or anything, so I listen to them, but, you know, just ignore them just like I do regular ads.
Well, you go ahead, you Adam Curry supporter.
I listen to a lot of different
things. Why don't you go over there and marry him if you love him so much? No, you know what? That's great. I'm glad he's doing good.
Other than the pissing on the bottle,
he's
air pain
run,
which I didn't really need to hear, the last one which he did off the airplane was actually rather interesting because I love listening to the pilot talk and stuff and flying and that type of stuff.
See, I liked listening to him. The only problem was every day was just I don't have enough time.
I don't listen to that many podcasts anymore. You know, I've cut out a lot of them.
Right.
So I only, you know, and not every one of them comes out every single day. So, plus I drive a whole lot farther than you. I'm in the car for 2 hours a day. So
that does it. You know, after I get done listening to the GNU Linux User podcast and every episode they put out, I don't have time in my day anymore.
There you go.
Oh, I like that podcast a lot. Thumbs up. And all the other Linux ones, LA Up, Linux Australia.
Senseo, yeah.
Linux Questions, Lug Radio. Was that Everybody Loves Eric Raymond? Read those yet?
Did you see somebody did a picture of them? Everybody Loves Lug Radio.
Yeah, I saw that. And
So when's somebody going to do one of ours?
Nobody likes the tech show. It's just three blank panels. Nobody likes the tech show. What's going on with the guy from the Linux Box? Good question. You haven't heard from him in a little while. I guess he's still working.
No idea. He was supposed to set up that new website, right?
Yeah. Hopefully soon. Although he said he wasn't probably going to get it off the ground until, the winter or so, or into next year. We'll see.
I think so, yeah. After Christmas, he said, maybe?
Something like that. Busy.
I have to shut down.
All right. Well, we're gonna play some music out of here, and then that's it for that. Talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening.
That's right.
Good night.
Talk to you all next week.
Oh yeah! Don't forget to buy
next time for 111, right?
Yep, 111. Check out the new Alice Cooper.
Send Pat an email. Buy a DVD from us.
Yeah, buy a DVD if you want.
Yeah. What they said.
Don't buy a damn thing. I don't know. Here we go.
There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
My fortune is yours for the taking, but you'll have to find it first. I left everything I own in one piece.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for One Piece, the treasure that would make their dreams come true.
Yo!
Don't give it up, Luffy. Don't give it up, Zoro. Don't give it up, Nami. Don't give it up,
how the story goes, we find out by the treasure in the Grand Line, there's no doubt. The pirate whose eye is on it, he'll sing, I'll be king, I'll be pirate king.
Gaio, 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 oh-oh.
His name is Luffy.
That's Monkey D.
Gonna be king of the pirates.
He's made of rubber.
How did that happen?
Yo-ho-ho, he took a bite of gum-gum.
Gaio, Gaio.
His name's Olo, he's a samurai and a L-A-D-Y, Nami the Sly. The pirate crew coming through, doing their thing with the king. With the king, gonna be pirate king.
Gaio, 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 oh-oh.
We'll set sail the One Piece.
It's the name of the treasure in the Grand Line.
Gaio, Gaio, set sail the One Piece.
You know I wanna tap that ass, right?
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's over.
That's the end of that. Yeah. For those people who said that was a very clear recording of the One Piece theme, if I am not mistaken, I think I used my iRiver to get that. Yes, I may have. I don't remember. But watch One Piece. It's pretty good. I like it. Pretty fun anime. On a Fox Box or Cartoon Network. Right, Alan?
Sure.
Sure. Well, I guess we gotta close this up, and I wanna save this so I don't lose anything. Damn, I'm already on 2 hours and 11 minutes of this OGG file. Plus adding in the other stuff. We're looking at a 2.5 hour OGG file. Or raw MP3.
I got like 2 hours on the... I did a V-Sound. Just in case something got screwed up.
So that's a lot of stuff.
I did over 2 hours of the stream.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to close it up. Peace out. All right.
It sounds fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing at the very worst, we're hearing the odd little whooshing sounds from, like, the phone conversation, if anything else. At least that's what it sounds like to me.
I just don't want to be blowing my eardrums out. And blowing everybody else's eardrums out.
Well, I'm not worried about blowing your eardrums out.
Thanks.
I just want to make sure what the stream sounds okay.
Yeah, thank you.
your
prick.
Your eardrums have volume controls.
See, now, you guys sound awesome through this thing. I sound like I'm talking through a bed pillow.
Yeah, you are very muffled. I don't know why.
He's got a dick in his mouth. Oh!
It almost sounds like that, man. I'll tell you. It sounds like I got something going on in there.
Is this the same mic you always use?
Yeah, it's the same one.
Hmm.
Maybe I could turn my... I don't know. Maybe I can turn into something.
Are we picking up a different codec for the...
Level up a little?
Maybe you could turn me on.
How's that? Is that any different? You turn the treble up a little bit on this thing?
Yeah, it's a little bit more. You're not quite the pillowcase that you were before.
Yeah, trying to make it a little bit brighter. Turn things up a little bit. Get it going on. Yeah, it's probably a lot of it is the codec too. So since it's IAX COM instead of.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it does sound different than what we were using before, so I'm wondering if that doesn't have anything to do with it. Who is screwing around with the board?
Why, what's wrong with the board now?
All your tones are way down on your mic. You're on two now, right?
I've always been on two.
Okay.
Were you here last week?
No.
Then Link was screwing around with the board.
Why did we knock your...
I wasn't screwing around with nothing.
I don't know. I think Pat had his fingers in the board.
Yeah, Pat turns off all the treble and everything. Because he's going... Wait, keep talking. I want to turn your
all right.
Volume a little bit flatter.
Oh, my God. Turn it down. You're killing me.
Keep going now. Just keep talking so I can turn
no,
it down.
No, it sounds good from over here, man, listening to the stream.
Yeah, he had, like, all the tone controls off.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm talking. Big O! Big O, big O, big O.
Does he sound, like, too loud now, Blink, or not?
I gotta turn my volume.
The stream sounds really good from here.
I gotta turn my mic down. I mean, my headphones down. It's killing me.
Well, you're definitely a little bit brighter than you were before, Dan.
I'm always bright, baby. Stephen Von Nichols. From ZDNet. You know what I was thinking?
What were you thinking? Oh, Link, I got a copy of a Slack and Dosh over here for you.
The new one?
Yeah, the 10.2.
Have you tried it yet?
I've got it installed on the iMac, but it's not working 100% for me yet because I got to get X configured for it. But so I haven't really played with it. I got it installed and installed really easy.
Awesome.
Don't fart in my face. You know, the only thing that's confusing is the way that, you know, they partition everything over there. But since Ubuntu was already on there, my partitioning was already done, so it worked out pretty well. And it's just standard Slack install. You wouldn't even know the difference if somebody didn't tell you what it was.
And X just doesn't start up for you, huh?
Yeah, it's telling me that it can't find a display. I got to configure it, but unfortunately I ran out of time, so I took the machine down for right now. So I got to put it back together and play around with it some more. I've got to find another switch. I ran out of ports. I'm swapping everything around now to get things to work. Got to go out and buy a new port's worth.
You guys got to check out my blog and check my new system out, man.
Do you have pictures of it now?
I got a different switch and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Let me go over there. You just put that up, though, right? Because I don't think I saw that earlier today.
A few days ago.
Oh, really? Okay, I really missed stuff then. Let's see. Of course, I haven't done anything with this laptop since I rebuilt it, and I have none of my bookmarks are here. I got to do everything the hard way now. Oh, here it is. Picture's cool. Yeah, actually, I saw that not too long ago, but the pictures wouldn't load for me one day. I don't know why, and I never finished up figuring out why. So that's like before pictures then. Oh, cool. I like the marble finish.
That's the old one.
That's the old one? Okay. Well, let me keep going through the...
Yeah, the new ones are the ones with the big black cabinets.
Okay. Well, I opened up the wrong one. Try again. Of course, because like an idiot, I didn't read, and I was going through the old one. Oh. Ooh. You don't even know you got a system there.
Yeah, it's pretty. I actually have a dining room now. I have like a table and everything. It's pretty neat.
What happened to the rack?
Places for people to sit when they come over to my house. The rack is, I got rid of it. Everything's in the second cabinet.
Wow. G- Got to rearrange that one wall a little bit there so you can get the switch up there. Cool. I can just close it like an idiot. Got to come over and see the new setup. Oh, they sort of missed a rack now.
I don't. The damn thing was louder than hell.
I was going to say, now what are you going to do for heating now in the winter?
You know what? The interesting thing is that in this new cabinet, like with the doors shut, it stays around 80 degrees in there, which is what it was. It's the same temperature that the rack was with all the doors off of it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the fan blowing on it.
And you don't have the fan blowing anymore.
Like the heat is getting dissipated a little bit better.
Well, you got a lot more room around
it. The new switch doesn't have as much fan noise either, so.
Yeah, and plus you got a lot more room around everything. That helps a whole lot, too.
Yes, it does. I took a lot of machines out. So if you're looking to play with a few spark stations, you just let me know because I got some spares.
Oh, I still have those 10s down in the basement I haven't done anything with since I moved.
Yeah, well, I got 320s in my basement.
I think I'm saving them all up for, like, when Cherryville is in March. And getting, like, a table and just putting a sign on there. All I want is my entry feedback. Take anything you want. Just, I dread the fact of getting up really early and dragging all that crap in.
Does anybody know anything about our guest tonight?
I haven't a clue.
His name is Stephen Vaughn Nichols.
That's right.
Yeah, I know something. I even read a few of his articles today, as a matter of fact.
Then you could take off with the interview.
I really don't have a whole lot of stuff to ask him. Sorry if you're listening already, Stephen, but, you know, Pat keeps getting people who are journalists. Pretty much you can get his opinion about anything by reading his column.
Is he the senior editor of Ziff Davis?
I think so. But he's also on like a host of other published websites. And, like, his articles go back. He's quite an accomplished journalist. His articles go back for a long, long time. And he talks about, you know, any and every open source topic you can think of.
Maybe he'll answer my questions. How can I migrate to Linux on the desktop? I'm stuck in this Windows XP hell right now. I'm using Windows XP Home Edition on my Mac. Because Windows is the hacksaw elite.
Well, sadly, when I first booted up tonight, I didn't realize, I've never actually realized it since I rebuilt the computer. My boot menu has Windows first. I never noticed that. And as we were bullshitting, I let it time out. All of a sudden, I hear that stupid Windows chime. I'm like, quick, control, alt, delete. It's like evil.
For shame, for shame, for shame.
I have to get in and change the order of that because I didn't realize that was the first thing in line.
What do you expect from Alan? You know?
Well, I set things up. It works. I don't fucking touch things anymore. That's my problem. I tend not to play around with things and because I know that if I play around with it enough, I'll break it to where I have to reinstall everything anyways. Well, I guess what I should do is restart my stream over here and record it just in case. That may or may not be a good idea. Of course, killing it didn't work either. Sons of bitches, you. Oh, since we're explicit now on iTunes, maybe we should also add a picture.
Oh, my God. You guys want everything.
Damn right. Well, I was thinking that the ones that guy sent in not too long ago, one of those would go just perfect in that little tiny square.
Where are those?
I have them at home on my mail if we need them. I'm sure Pat or somebody else has one as well.
How do I do that? Tutorial tags.
I want a picture now.
Well, I figure so if we're going to go for explicit, we might as well go for the whole...
Have a big penis. Night. Like a TL penis S.
No.
The horse penis from last week.
To go that bad, but...
You missed it, Alan.
What was it? Lemon tree or whatever the hell you guys were talking about?
No, the horse... The man getting worked to death by a horse.
And that's... I'm glad that
Dude,
I
did. Dude, you are glad you did miss it. I told Link not to look, and he knew better. Burned his eyes out right there on the spot. Just like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the guy's face melted and his eyes bubbled out.
Pat was going to hurl.
Pat was looking at the screen. Oh! But yeah, I know. Both of those guys, man. Yeah, they looked so pale. And it's like, you know, you eat something and it just doesn't taste right. And it makes, you know, it's like, oh, I think this is 2 days past the expiration point.
And we're actually going into taste now. That's even worse.
Wait, did that guy email those pictures to us?
Yeah. Yeah, he sent them to the tech show. I just don't have anything.
What pictures?
A couple weeks ago, that guy sent the graphics to us for the Linux Link tech show.
Oh, yes.
I was thinking either one of those.
Did you guys get the WAV file today?
I got the WAV file, but I didn't get a chance to listen to it tonight.
Oh, well, Dan, you should put it on the show, man.
Hold on.
I was just figuring either one of those pictures, since we're going explicit when we're actually paying attention to iTunes tags, we might as well put a picture there, too. Make it all purdy and everything.
Yeah, but I gotta find them now. How far back was that?
That was about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. Probably closer to 2.
You want me to find them real quick? Since I actually read the mail, I probably have them.
Well, I read the mail, too. It's just, Dan. Unfortunately, I can only get it at home, so.
I'm looking back. Why is there an attachment to this, and I don't see an attachment? No, that's...
Yeah, look for 1021, Tech Show logo.
Well, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. They weren't attachments. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there it is. No, they weren't attachments.
Wait, which one do we want?
I like them all. I don't know. I like the Ubuntu one, too, with the little pictures in it.
But which one do we want on iTunes?
The one that just said the Linux Link Tech Show. I think the second one would probably go well.
That one?
Yeah, the second one of that one. Well, I didn't realize you had so many. I missed a whole bunch.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, I like the Ubuntu one with the little heads in the circles. That's pretty cool.
Wait, where is that one? All right, here we go.
So the patch head is in the circle. The patch head is in the circle somewhere. Still pretty damn cool.
Wait.
That's a ripoff on the Ubuntu one, isn't it? We may people may have problems with that one.
It's a ripoff on every one of them, man. The Slackware one's your obvious ripoff too.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't see the...
Yeah, we could always just put the penguin smoking the pipe on there. That would go over well.
Tech show, tech show. Where...
What we really need is like a penguin whacking off or something like that.
Where do you see the one with the heads?
It's the very last post on 1021 from him. Tech show logo, very last post. The URL is treehead.net/img/techshow-ubuntu1.png and ubuntu2.png.
Oh, it must be ubuntu2.png.
Yeah, that's the one with the head.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
See, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, but there's no Pat.
I know, that's what he said. The only thing he's missing is Pat. You gotta get Pat on. Pat's little head in there somewhere. It needs to be slightly altered. Instead of having three little dudes in the circle, it needs to have four little dudes in the circle.
Circle jerk.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man, I got to watch
TMZ,
the time.
TMZ, man.
Yeah. La, la, da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
I think about what happened every day and still haven't come up with a good reason why, says the Welsh rugby fan who castrated himself after a match. Ouch.
Ow.
And on top of that, how stupid.
Where do you find these news stories, Dale? You one sick fuck you are.
Fark. Go to Fark.com. There's always hilarious ones there.
No, I don't want to go there. I wanted to know why you were going
it's
there.
Even, actually, I just saw the headlines, but I have to read it. A rugby fan who cut out his testicles with a wire cutter to mark a Wales victory is at a loss to explain why he did it. Godfrey Hulsh. I probably screwed that one. Performed the impromptu self-surgery in February when his beloved Wales beat world champion England. After performing the deed, Mr. Hush put his severed anatomy in a bag and took them to his local social club to show fellow fans. He collapsed with blood loss and was rushed to a hospital, but surgeons could not reattach his missing parts. What an asshole.
Yeah,
and on top of that, it said it took. He's telling how he did it on it. He said it took about 10 minutes, and it was quite a bit of pain, but I kept going. The cutters were so blunt, so I had to keep snipping. Oh my god!
Thanks, Alan.
That's just wrong.
It is.
I have this strange, like, throbbing pain in my nether regions now. I'm probably going to have for the rest of the night, thanks to you.
I'll try to come up with a better. The rocket carrying ashes from Star Trek Scotty into space is grounded by engineering problems. That's a little bit better. How's that? Video of Latin singing star falling off the stage, landing on his head, with pictures.
Cool.
Yeah, but they take the pictures off, unfortunately.
Bin Rev, can we connect to Bin Rev? We're on Bin Rev.
Hello, Bin Rev.
Hello, Alan. How are you tonight?
Hello, Bin Rev people.
I'm very good, thank you.
I guess I better start the show.
Yeah, and just for everybody's information, if they're actually listening already, I've been listening so far through media.sysop.ca for the mirror, the stream mirror, and it's working phenomenally. So if you are indeed plugged in and listening at the linuxlink.net, please go somewhere else so that we don't wreck our bandwidth? Since I'm not there, you don't want to push it, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, let's try that, and then we'll start off with, All right.
No, sorry.
are we ready to go?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to turn you down, Alan. I mean, Link, so I don't blow everybody's hairs off.
Yeah, just don't turn them off like you did me last week.
Go to it. Don't have to turn me down at all. I'll turn
off. I got to turn the volume on the machine, because if I don't, we're gonna blow people's ears off.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn my mic off anyway.
All right, well. Wait, what do I got to do? Oh, yeah, I got to start the recording.
Push the proper button.
But why is this thing recording?
I don't know.
It's not recording. I don't know what's going on anymore. I quit. All right.
So how many people we allow in on the LinuxLink.net?
I only allow 10.
Oh, okay.
Because if we don't, then we eat up all the bandwidth and we can't call people. All right, you guys ready? Here we go. Do-do. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's a little interesting story that I didn't bring up. Alan appreciated this. I came home today, and RCM was doing some work in the back of my alley and on my neighbor's house. Now, when Alan lived about 2 miles away from me, he would always complain that he could only get one-way cable. And he's tried for 7 years, waited for 7 years for them, and they never came through with the two-way cable. Well, I'm sitting in the house here doing some laundry and stuff and get a knock on the door, and I walk out, and the RCM guy's there. He's like, hey, I hooked you up for two-way. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean no good. I don't have a cable modem. He's like, well, we hooked you up for two-way. I'm like, so what does that mean? Well, you're going to get better service. I'm like, I don't have a cable modem. And the guy's like, well, we hooked you up for two-way. And then finally I just said, that's great. Because what the hell am I going to do with two-way if I don't have a cable modem? But at least, you know, they were proactive and came knocking on my door. Unlike Alan, who had to call them and then finally gave up. Hoo-hoo-hoo. So I think we should be good. But I'll probably, to play the intro music, I'm going to definitely have to turn the volume down.
You don't have to turn the volume down on me, because I'm just going to shut my mic off.
No, we'll blow our eardrums out over here.
Oh.
What?
I think...
I'm looking at you, Alan. What?
Because I keep listening. I keep forgetting I'm 15 seconds behind. No, I think he sounds a little bit too loud on the stream.
See, that's the thing. If I lower him on the stream, then the recording is low.
Then his recording is low. Well, I can back him
down. So I will lower myself a little bit.
But if you lower yourself... Oh, hold on.
Just a hair. Just like I just lowered myself a little bit.
Hold on. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I gotta now see what happens when I hold on. Let me stop this.
That's right, he's one of them college graduates.
Coprophagous behavior. Bugs that eat scat are coprophages. At night, Alan's a coprophage.
What was the definition?
Coprophilia is the love of scat, and coprophagia is the consumption of scat or feces or waste products.
No.
I got many kinks, but that ain't one of them.
Lies!
Lies!
It's real. really grody.
Let me play this sound test back.
Dan's got his earrings out here on the desk.
Hold on. Let me play the sound test back. Hold on. Talking.
Start talking. 1, 2, 3. Test, test. Testing. This is the Linkmeister. Linking with the link stuff.
All right. I'm going to play it back.
Link text.
Hold on. Okay. I bumped up my volume, so talk.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Something, something. Hello, hello.
Do you have the stream running?
Yeah. Yes. Let me play it back, Link. Okay. I want you to do some talking for a couple seconds.
Okay, what should I talk about?
Just hold on, I'm going to transfer you.
Okay. Talk about?
Just say anything. You happy with Open Office?
Anything.
I'm trying to test.
Yeah, so far it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, love it. Great. Now, what did you put on? What you put Breezy on my machine, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna hang up the phone because I'm done talking to you now. I just want to do a test, okay? I love you.
Go ahead and hang up the phone.
Yeah, go ahead and hang up the phone.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Testing.
I would rather have him a little bit louder.
Link Fezzenden from the Linux Link Tech Show.
Okay, go ahead now.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Hello, hello. Testing, testing, testing.
Okay, hold on. Hello! Hooray! Let the show begin. I've been ready. Hello! Hooray! Let the lights grow dim. I've been ready. Ready as this audience that's coming here to dream. Loving every second, every movement, every scream. I've been waiting so long to sing my song. And I've been waiting so long for this thing to come. And I've been thinking so long I was the only one. And I can stand here strong and thin. And I can laugh when this thing begins.